One day it's too hot to be outside, and the next it's raining and flooding. Welcome to And Another Thing. I'm Dara Kennedy. Today on the show, we ask the experts why the rain won't stop, and is this the new normal? Coming up, we talk with a local and regional meteorologist to forecast your communities. And later, we ask, what can families do to protect their property?
I'm Maya Schwader. We know and sometimes love that New England's weather is notoriously fickle. But does this year feel different from all other years? We'll ask a climatologist about the science behind the summer. And beyond interrupting people's barbecues and boating, the weather could have real negative economic effects. Later in the show, we'll hear from two farmers about how they're doing in all the excess rain. Please join our conversations. You can reach us at andanotherthing@nepm.org or across social platforms at @HelloAndAnother.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Dara Kennedy. Severe rain has wreaked havoc across our region in the month of July. This past weekend, parts of four New England states were under severe warnings, and that heat index, it hovered around 90 degrees for many areas. Many towns seemed to suffer. Orange, Massachusetts declared a state of emergency after storm damage. In Connecticut, a bridge collapsed in Ashford, and rain totals are near record-breaking from here to Vermont. Okay, so basically, something is happening in the air.
There's one obvious explanation for all this: climate change. We spoke with climatologist Mike Rollins. He's the associate director of the Climate System Research Center at UMass Amherst. We asked him to break down, what is that something happening in the air?
To some extent, we can expect an increase in heavy precipitation events as the climate warms. The wet weather coming in summertime, there really has been no long-term trend in precipitation up or down in the summer months. So we can attribute this wet weather to some extent to normal weather variability. However, these heaviest precipitation events that we've seen over recent weeks, they are consistent with our understanding of a warming climate. A warmer atmosphere can hold more moisture, and when conditions are right, that moisture can be squeezed out. And we've seen a trend toward these increasing extreme precipitation events in recent decades. So it's not surprising to see lots of rain in short periods of time in this part of the world, but it's unclear if we're can expect to see wetter summers as a whole as the climate continues to warm. Climate models do suggest that in this region, we may see some drier summers as the climate warms.
Does that mean then that it could be yo-yoing between a very wet summer one year and a very dry summer the next year?
There is some research that suggests that weather patterns are becoming more persistent. Having persistent weather patterns, whether that's a week or two of really dry weather or a week or two or a month or so of really wet weather, may be linked to a warming climate and how that warming climate is impacting the jet stream. And in particular, this is related to the fact that the Arctic is warming more than the mid-latitudes. So the temperature difference between the Arctic and the mid-latitudes has been decreasing. And that difference in temperature, that temperature gradient, is what controls the jet stream. So as the temperature gradient has declined, the jet stream is showing more propensity to be wavy at times. And that waviness in the jet stream has been linked with more persistent weather. So it's certainly not out of the question to see longer periods of dry weather that stretch several days, several weeks, and then at other times to see these really heavy precipitation events in the summer that we've been experiencing in recent weeks.
Is it fair to say that what you've just described with the warming air above us and it holding more moisture, is that going to create a new normal of what our summers are going to look like?
What we like to say is, as the climate continues to warm, wet areas of the globe will get wetter, dry areas will get drier. The desert southwest of the U.S. has been getting drier, long-term drought. The Arctic, northeast U.S., other wet areas of the globe are seeing increases in precipitation because the atmosphere is holding more moisture. Now, climate models are inconclusive as to whether summers will get drier or wetter. There may be no long-term trend in the future in summer precipitation. We may have some wet summers, some dry summers, but other times of the year, particularly in winter, the climate models suggest that winters will get wetter. Not necessarily more snow, but more total precipitation. So less snow, more rain in winter.
What does that then do to the environment around us if we're having extremely wet winters and summers that could be either also extremely wet or very, very dry?
Well, these wild climate swings back and forth between wet and dry periods, that can have impacts on, particularly on ecosystems, flora and fauna. A region's ecosystems and the things that are living in that area are typically accustomed to a particular climate. And so anytime we're moving the climate outside of some normal weather variability, you can expect that things are going to not fare as well. Now, humans, we're able to adapt to a changing climate a lot easier than some things. A brook trout in a river in New England may not be able to escape that warming river water. It may not be able to find holes deep enough to go down and live when the stream is getting warmer. Humans, we can maybe turn up the air conditioner. And some things aren't able to easily adapt to the changing climate.
Professor Mike Rollins, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Extreme weather might be ruining your summer plans, your beach days, and you know that you cannot have a barbecue in the rain. Let's face it, these times can be frustrating. Aside from the distracted fun, though, instances of bad weather also have an effect on the businesses that rely on weather to turn a profit. For example, farmers and their ability to produce food. We spoke with Leslie Harris. She's the farm manager at Quan Quant Farm in Whately, Massachusetts. We asked her if people need to be concerned about their food supply.
I think everybody in the country should be concerned about their food supply chain because we're all looking at our carbon footprint right now. Erratic weather is a sign of climate change. And the more we ship food in from other locations, the more our carbon footprint goes up. At the same time, the erratic weather makes sometimes getting food locally a challenge. You know, there's enough land here and enough farmers here to grow the food for us. And supporting those farms and the supporting the growth of that food and understanding that crops get lost, that food prices might go up, that you might have to think about eating something different besides what you're used to because that's what's available. I think those are all part and parcel. The biggest challenge for us comes with the pest pressure. So there are certain types of insect pests, for instance, that come into your apple orchard, particularly when the trees are under stress from drought. There are a lot of fungal diseases that damage your apple trees or your apples and peaches and blueberries when there's too much humidity or too much rain. So it's sort of one of those conundrums that we face where we try very hard not to use conventional pesticide, though we do use some. And in a year like this, where you're faced with the choice of losing trees that are 50 years old or using pesticides that could actually do the trick, you're faced with a real challenge. And so I think that a lot of farmers who maybe don't have access to conventional pesticides or even organic pesticides that will work are really going to be in a bind. And I know that for us, it makes it so that disease and insect pressure are higher. Well, I'm always concerned about the business of the farm, right? I was concerned about the business of the farm last year with COVID and with a drought. This year, I'm concerned because I don't have enough pickers coming and because of the rain. And I'm concerned about what will be the quality of fruit in the end. And of course, I'll never know that until I see it. But we have very loyal customers, people who really enjoy supporting our farm and what we do. And we are eternally grateful for that. And we just started welcoming people back to our farm for the picking season a couple weeks ago. And it's been awesome to see the same faces that we've been seeing for years come and a lot of new people coming and checking it out. So that makes me feel good about the business of the farm.
With all of the factors that farmers have to keep track of between the weather and the pests and the soil, what is the crop going to look like this year? We talked to David Wissman. He and his father run Warner Farm in Sunderland. And we asked him, with so much rain, how are the fields looking right now?
We're still kind of waiting to see how much it'll end up affecting a lot of things long term. We are starting to see certain disease pressures starting in fields earlier than we're used to. With all the extra moisture in the soil and in the air, it just causes a lot of extra fungus and molds and things like that, to diseases to creep into the plants. Typically, you'll see it later in the season once you get into August, as the plants just get older and a little bit weaker. But, you know, we have healthy plantings which are starting to kind of show some signs of that. Obviously, in a world with the kind of climate extremes and the world of climate change that we're in nowadays, it just makes farming that much more challenging. You know, I think that basically being a farmer is all about being able to weather kind of the extremes. You know, even just this year, it started out and it was really cold for a long time, and then it got really hot at like the end of May, and then we were really dry and we were out trying to irrigate everything, and now suddenly we've had, you know, whatever it is, 15 days of rain at this point in July. And, you know, you do everything you can to try and spread out, diversify your crops, diversify how you grow them, the types of soils that you're growing them in. And that's really what farming's all about. It's kind of about spreading out all that risk, because, you know, you're always at the bay of the weather. You know, when I talk to other farmers, we're all very aware that, you know, I think the challenges of, you know, it's always a challenge to be, you know, fighting the weather. And I think that those challenges are only going to continue as we go along. It does seem kind of like a new normal.
That was David Wissman, who runs Warner Farm in Sunderland, Massachusetts. And before that, we heard from Leslie Harris, manager of Quan Quant Farm in Whately. You're listening to And Another Thing on New England Public Media. Stay with us.
Historically, infrastructure was all about building bridges and roads, but that's changing.
This is a 21st century approach that is racially conscious, that is justice focused, that is rooted in history.
I'm Rima Jerez, talking about what the community wants. Next time on Marketplace.
Stay tuned for Marketplace, which is just ahead at 6:30. It's followed at 7 by Fresh Air and at 8 by Jazz a la Mode on New England Public Media. Mostly cloudy tonight with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms, patchy fog overnight, humid with a low around 60. Partly sunny tomorrow with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely, continued humid with highs in the lower 80s. And Another Thing on New England Public Media is funded by you and WFCR's partners, Amherst, Hampshire, Mount Holyoke and Smith Colleges, and the University of Massachusetts Amherst.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Dara Kennedy. While the rain is a reprieve from the scorching temperatures we've experienced, we just heard how the record-breaking rainfalls put a damper on some small businesses. But the downpours are also affecting everyday life and our health. For more on the severe weather across our region, we asked the on-the-ground experts for details. We begin with meteorologist Matt Scott, who further details storm damage that caused floods across Connecticut.
So far, pretty darn wet. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm growing moss on my legs. As a meteorologist, we expect, obviously, there's going to be, you know, rain in the summer. You know, usually a lot of it comes from heat, you know, destabilizing the atmosphere with enough, you know, humidity and whatnot. And you get a couple of summertime splash and dash storms. But my goodness, it seems like every day we're having another storm come by, or another round of rain, or another severe thunderstorm. We've had only 2 days in July in Connecticut that had no measurable rainfall. Two. So what does that tell you? I mean, it's just after a while, you just sit there and you go, oh gosh, this is too much. It wears you down. Everything has to do with the climate, and climate change works on two levels. One, it works on, obviously, you know, the population of the Earth and what we do as manufacturing and what we're doing to the Earth. But secondly, a lot of it has to do with what we're doing as individuals. I firmly believe that, you know, as a person, you should leave your carbon footprint just as good as you got it. So I think with more people on the planet and more things that are you know, involving, you know, emissions and gases and whatnot, that we all have a little bit of a responsibility to do a little more. And so if we're ignoring the individual things, then we're absolutely, you know, not, then there absolutely is going to be a change and not for the better.
Vermont has long been prone to flooding and flood damage. They receive on average 43 inches of rain per year. And though parts of the state recently faced near drought conditions, southern Vermont faced serious flooding. We asked Albany, New York-based Dan Thompson, who covers the region for the National Weather Service, if what we are seeing is normal.
So we've definitely seen a very active month of July in western New England, which is the area that we cover. We've seen repeated rounds of heavy rainfall and some severe weather, and it looks like the upcoming week we have another couple of chances for some active weather as well. For today, there is a marginal risk of severe weather in southern Vermont and western Massachusetts, so we could see some isolated damaging wind gusts, especially this evening.
The region has been inundated with weather over the past weekend across, right? Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Hampshire, Vermont. We've seen flooding, bridges collapse. This isn't your normal summer. Why is the region seeing so much severe weather right now?
We have seen a pretty persistent ridge in the western U.S., which accounts for a lot of the hot weather that they've been seeing out there. In our neck of the woods, it's been a little more variable, but the jet stream, which is kind of can be thought of as a storm track, has been very active. So we've seen these repeated disturbances, and we've also seen a lot of moisture. So these disturbances interact with this moisture and produce a lot of heavy rain and some severe weather.
Springfield has one of the highest asthma rates in the country. Is there anything in the weather and patterns, air quality control, that people should look out for?
Yeah, so actually today you may notice if you look outside, the skies are a little bit hazy, and that's actually because of smoke from wildfires out west. And there are air quality alerts in effect for much of New England and eastern New York. So people that have asthma or, you know, pre-existing conditions may be impacted by the smoke or particulates in the air today.
And then how long does that last?
It looks like it will dissipate by tonight and tomorrow. There's still maybe some lingering kind of smoke in the air, but it looks like today is the more problematic day.
That was meteorologist Dan Thompson from the National Weather Service. If you have questions about air quality in Massachusetts, you can visit mass.gov and search air quality.
Earlier on the program, we heard that with climate change, we're in for a lot more rain year-round in the Northeast. And if you're wondering what that means for your basement, the National Flood Insurance Program from FEMA has not made any significant changes to its flood insurance pricing since 1968, but that will change this fall when FEMA introduces new rates on premiums. Mark Samperi, Vice President of New England Flood Insurance, tells us that for now, homeowners across the region still have time to protect their property, even if it's on the coastlines.
Flood insurance is something that not a lot of homeowners have. It is only required when someone has a mortgage, and more often than not, the mortgage company will require somebody to carry flood insurance. So a lot of people do not carry it. A lot of people also don't know that flood insurance is not covered by the standard homeowner's policy. So flood insurance is entirely separate. So if you don't know if you have flood insurance, you probably don't, because unless you're required to have it by the company who's holding your mortgage, you probably don't have it. We normally recommend you just ask your homeowner's insurance agent if I need flood insurance or if I can access flood insurance. Your insurance agent can also tell you if you're in a flood zone. Flood zones are determined by the federal government, the National Flood Insurance Program. They have maps of the region. Those maps can tell you if you're in a high-risk flood area. The downside of that is that many of those maps in a lot of areas have not been updated in a long time. With these more unpredictable weather occurrences that we're seeing floods in areas that had not traditionally flooded and are not in those high-risk flood zones.
Where are you seeing maybe some of the highest claims now, or that you expect to see claims come in from?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, the highest risk flood zones, there's a flood zone that's labeled a V flood zone. That's the highest risk flood zone in the federal program. South coastal Massachusetts, some parts of Cape Cod and Rhode Island are probably certainly all the areas that were impacted by Superstorm Sandy, the coastal of Connecticut. Those are high impact areas as well. So those are the primary areas, I would think.
So then let me bring you to this then. What is specifically different about the flood insurance versus, I guess, what you call the coastal insurance?
Coastal homeowners insurance is essentially just a basic homeowner's policy, very similar to homeowner's policies in inland. It's just that a lot of standard insurance carriers don't like to insure homes that are too close to the water, because there's better chance of, you know, claims, a better chance of wind damage and things like that. But they're very different. They do not cross over. The flood policy would not cross over the homeowner's policy, as I mentioned.
You cover about 6 states throughout New England, and just over the weekend,
correct,
we have seen storms cause damage throughout Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont. Here in Western Massachusetts, we've seen street flooding in no less than 10 towns, so bad actually in Orange that a state of emergency was declared. When the flooding creates a situation where the adjacent homes are affected, who is responsible for that, or how does that home get covered?
It would only be the homeowner is responsible for that. Their normal standard homeowner's policy does not cover the risk of flood. Flood policy really is a one peril policy. It only covers flood. So if you're impacted by a flooding situation and you're hoping your homeowner's policy is going to cover it, it's unfortunately going to be out of luck.
You mentioned that the numbers haven't been worked on in so long. And in fact, FEMA is right now trying to restructure what they call 50 years of mispriced flood insurance,
yes,
which will recalibrate premiums. That program takes
yes
effect in October. But who's going to be most affected by that recalibration?
Another good question. It should be everybody. We remain a little bit skeptical as to whether or not that's going to actually take place. So the FEMA has been moving toward more kind of risk-based pricing for years. Bigger Waters Flood Insurance Reform Act of 2012 that first wanted to move in that direction. And when those prices started to go up, Congress quickly passed the Homeowners Flood Insurance Affordability Act of 2014 that allowed for homes and having pricing going back to lower rates because people were up in arms about the price increases they were seeing. There are parameters within that proposal that prevent increases from more than, I believe, 25% every year or something like that. There's a structure in place to keep the prices from going up too far too fast, but it's going to affect an awful lot of flood policyholders for sure.
Are premiums currently higher right now during this storm season? If a family wanted to go and protect themselves all of a sudden, will their prices be higher?
No, not really. It's based on historical data. It's not priced seasonally.
What tips can you give to a family, a homeowner, to protect themselves from flood damage?
Tips for flood damage, I guess, first of all, check to see if you're in a flood zone and, you know, contact your insurance agent. If you're concerned about flooding, you want to make sure your, you know, everything valuable you have is not on the floor where that's most likely to be flooded. You know, coverage is very limited for anything in a basement, and so just move your stuff to higher ground like you would if the waters were rising. And I would also say don't wait. Don't wait until the hurricane or the waters are rising to see if your flood insurance makes sense.
Mark Semperi, Vice President of New England Flood Insurance, covering 6 states in the region. And another thing, thank you for listening today. I'm Dara Kennedy. A reminder, you can join our conversations at 800-639-9120.
You can also find us on social media at Hello and Another, or email us at andanotherthing@nepm.org. I'm Maya Schwader. We'll see you tomorrow.